Autumn Picnic will be held on Sunday, October the 27th at high noon. The church will provide hamburgers, hot dogs. Note the bulletin board for additional details. Don't come empty-handed. I mean, bring some food. If you can't, come anyway. All right. Back to where we were at. Peter warned about the attack against biblical Christianity in the last days. I imagine it takes a lot of different forms. And there's probably just so many, no doubt, so many examples of this. We're protected here because I protect you under God. I don't let any, you know, strange people come in here and teach in any way. We don't share pulpits. Now, if you run around and run into this kind of stuff, that's on you. But I am a shepherd, and my job is to protect you from that which is false, that is wrong, and to make it clear. And if people want to persist in it, as long as they're not giving other people trouble around here, then that's it. We'll let them, their judgment's on their head. And finally, 1 John 4:1. Maybe. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. That would be sources of information to do a serious evaluation of things that you hear. Some things may be appealing. It may seem to have something going for them, but beware whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And therefore, we have to be careful. It isn't that there isn't some truthful information that can be useful out there. But the smart thing for you as a believer is this. Until my pastor teacher teaches it. Now, that's good. That's fine. Go on, go with that. I'm sticking where I'm at. I'm where I'm at spiritually, and if there's something needs to be brought to our attention, then I'll let God and His time work through my spiritual leader. Okay, point 13. Even now refers to the apostolic era. Last hour and last days refer to the same thing, as per all of those verses where we have references to the last. You couldn't really say that until we have the first advent, and then you can begin to talk about, because Christ has come and established the fact that this just has to be seen through, but it's over. The world and everything's passing away. 2 Timothy 3:1. See, all these apostles taught these things. He said, but note this, realize this, that in the last days, difficult or perilous times will come. Now, perilous times are defined here as the behavior of human beings in the last days, which, of course, we see at every kind of level. For men will be lovers of self, self-celebrities, self-promotions. Of themselves, lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. That means they scoff at the truth and so forth. Disobedient to parents. You see a lot of examples of that around. This disobedient to parents things. You see it out in the public. Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless. A lot of behavior is reckless. A lot of this stuff people are doing. Extreme sports, doing all this stuff, seeing how fast you can get a car to go out on a salt flat because you want to break your old record and you kill yourself. So you could have down in notes that you were going 300 miles an hour or something in a vehicle. One little mistake and that's it. They died doing what? Reckless. With their health, with their all this kind of stuff. There's things you just shouldn't participate in. And as a believer, I'm here to try to help you with that. I shouldn't have to explain some things, but I will. People are dying now, and an increased death of vaping stuff. Pull up behind a car, smoke coming out of the windows, all the sides of it. Really? I can imagine everything in that is just so healthy. Oh, it's better than smoking cigarettes. No, it'll kill you quicker, and the cigarettes takes longer. Well, God put tobacco on the earth. He sure did. But he didn't put all the chemicals in it. That's the difference. That's the big difference. He put sugar on the earth too, but he didn't process it. Pure cane sugar. This is examples over and over again of the kind of things. But that's up to you to figure out. That's why it's perilous times. Difficult times. A lot of it's self-induced. Without control. All these things. Brutal haters of good. I might have skipped that. Holding to a form of godliness. Well, I go to church. Yeah, right. A form of godliness. And they can put on a big show, too. Go to a big church and they got this organ and choir and beautiful windows and all this environment and a guy in investments up there. All this business. Has nothing to do with biblical Christianity. It's just an outward form of godliness. They're trained to do this and be this way. A form of godliness. Although they've denied the power, its power, true godliness, and the power of it is doctrine. And we have another verse on separation. Avoid such types as these. Don't fraternize with these people on a social level. So there it is, right there. These kind of people that are on steroids in these areas have nothing to do with them other than business and what you have to do to, you know, go to work and different things of that nature. And so forth and so on through here. But I did that just for that. In the last days, heads up. This is what you see, and you see your own examples of it all over the place. Hebrews 1, verse 2. In these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. James 5, next book over. All the different categories are found somewhere. James 5, 3. Dealing with the super rich, the elite rich, your gold and your silver has rusted. This is not conventional rust. So silver can become tarnished. Gold doesn't rust. This is a different type of rust. Based on what's going to happen to them. Your garments have become moth-eaten. The rich people have protective rooms that no moth is going to survive in. Their garments are protected. They're not going to see these critters get in there and get a hold of their stuff. This is the thermonuclear. Everything points here to thermonuclear war. I've read that the rich, a lot of them, more and more, they've built elaborate underground bunkers, but I don't mean just your usual ones, so they can survive doomsday. God's going to get them out of there. He'll crack those things open like an egg. They can't hide. Because there's a certain level at which the world knows something's coming up. And all these people saber-rattling today, rumors of war, Pakistan and India, nuclear exchange, kill how many millions and millions in a war. Again, the thing that always comforts me is Jesus Christ controls history. And He's going to work everything for good for you as a believer, us as believers, as we move through this thing. Yeah, and it's not going to be pretty. It isn't pretty. And our warmongering government is just, it's awful. Where do they get these neocon warmongers? Do they not know what they're playing with? Putin appears to be reasonable. They're not reasonable. The ones in high places in our government. And both sides, both parties. What do they think they're playing with? A nuclear war is, you know, almost unthinkable. The kind of weapons that are out there. And they're making more of them. And on and on and on. Again, Christ controls history. Your gold and your silver have rusted. Their rust will be a witness against you. And then the rust gets even, if you didn't know what we know, weirder. And will consume your flesh like fire. That fits the nuclear attack, making things radioactive all over the place, and the dust and everything else that would attach itself to human flesh would rot it. It is in the last days that you've stored up your treasure. See, this is mocking them. You stored up your treasure, but it ain't going to help you. It isn't going to help you when this comes down. It's going to do you no good. And then it indicts them for what the other things that are involved here. So James 5:3, 2 Peter 3:3, and these are the examples on this phrase. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust. This is attacks, direct attacks on God, His plan, and all aspects of it. They're mockers. And they mock the prospect of His coming. Where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. When they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Although, see, they're evolutionists, they're atheists, they're that type of mockers, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. They deny the biblical flood. The geological factors, doesn't matter. They've all denied all that. Okay. The term Antichrist occurs exclusively in 1 John and those verses. In 2 John 1:7, John defines what he means by this designation. Further defines it. Let me see what I got here. Just a second. Yeah, 1:7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, this is the deceiver and the Antichrist. They distort the whole idea of the incarnation and the uniqueness of Christ. That's one sign of an Antichrist type. And this, I mean, if you walked into some of these churches, some of them, not all of them, but if you walked into some of these churches, some of these high churches, and start talking about who and what Jesus Christ was, you might be shocked at what their ministers have been taught in seminary. It wouldn't sound quite like what you know. Oh, so an Antichrist can either be someone who claims to be the Christ, that's one thing, or someone who denies the essential doctrines related to the person of Jesus Christ as specified in Scripture. Jude exposed these types in his little hard-hitting letter, in which he was going to write one thing, but God changed his mind. 1:4. I was going to write to you about our common salvation and go over all that, but hey, I changed. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons, who turned the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into licentiousness. Gay church. A gay church. That would be an example today. And try to maintain all the features of Christianity and call themselves a gay church. They promote sexual promiscuity in some instances. And deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Yet in the same way, these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. 10 and following. And these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they do not know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them. They've gone in the way of Cain. And for pay, there's your greed factor, they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, the money grubbers in the ministry. They're out there trying to get money in all kinds of different ways from people, various promises. And perished in the rebellion of Korah. The Balaam, now but Cain was a non-believer. Balaam was a believer. He was a true prophet of God who went astray because of greed. He would not resist the temptation to be paid to curse Israel. And he got up there to do it because Israel's all camped down there before the hills of Moab. And he's going to get up there and curse Israel. And the Spirit takes him and he pronounces blessing on Israel. The king of Moab didn't like it that much. And then the battle occurred between Israel and the Moabites, and he got caught up in it and got killed by the sword. The way of Balaam is the way of greed in the ministry. Greed in the ministry. Not the legitimate way of which you get people to give and support the local church, but ways to manipulate people. Seed faith, Oral Roberts thing over there, all those years. And how you can, give to our ministry and you'll get this and this and this. I heard a funny one. It doesn't have anything to do with this. The Russian Orthodox Church. They got a head guy comparable to a pope like in Rome. The Russian Orthodox Church. They dropped 70 liters of holy water over a town in Russia to cure it of fornication and drunkenness. You just can't make this stuff up. It just works like a charm. We ought to have planes flying over D.C. constantly dropping stuff in L.A. Now, if you can't laugh at this, I don't know. And they're dead serious. Dead serious. We didn't know it was that easy, did we? I remember when I went to a Catholic church as a kid with my friend, I wouldn't stick my hand in the holy water. I said, because I didn't understand what this was about. There was this little basin out here where people are, doing this. And then they would kneel before they'd sit down. I'd just walk in and sit down. I was such a heretic. Because the place creeped me out. It was a typical Catholic church in Hot Springs, South Dakota. Creeped me out. And I always say that stuff there, swinging around that smoke, can't they get something that smells better? My friend is just laughing off. That's what they do. Because I went there thinking, well, maybe this is Christianity. I had the idea it's the biggest, the longest been around in my mind. It's not true, but that's the way I thought. And I'll see if I can find out something here. What's all this Latin? I can't understand it. And I was thinking, and he gave a little homily. It had nothing to do with the Bible, of course. They call it a homily. So I said, and I even started to go to catechism, and I got one deal into it, and I'm not even saved, right? Nope. God's protecting me. I don't have anything to part with this. I'm going to go over here to this Protestant deal. It wasn't any better. It really wasn't. I don't want to go here and listen to you talk about your golf game. You read some verses out of Psalms, and you go, oh, he's going to explain them. Nope, no way. Not a chance. I think it was just a bunch of unbelievers. The United Church of Christ, not to be confused with Church of Christ we know. Where you had under one rep, you'd be a Baptist, a Methodist, or a Presbyterian. Kind of an ecumenical deal with those three denominations. What form of baptism do you want to do? Sprinkling, pouring, or immersion? Well, I get a choice. I went through confirmation. It didn't change me. Didn't change me a bit. So, and that's, you know, these are big denominations. They have a whole lot of sway with a lot of people. Now, I know there's liberal Lutherans and there's conservative Lutherans and there's, you know, the synod, that's the conservative ones, following Luther's doctrines. But then the other ones going off to the liberal side of things. And they probably promote all the usual liberal stuff that came along down the pipe. These are the things that the church we have seen. Of course, we've separated ourselves from that. I presume we have corporately anyway. I don't have any part in this. No, I'm not going to go to a big breakfast for all the ministers in Bethany. I'm not into ecumenicalism. How phony. But they don't understand that. They just don't understand. You're just, what's wrong with you? God does not promote confusion. And you can just scream love all you want to and say brother and God bless you and all of it. It means nothing. Nothing. Again, the trend continues throughout the church age and will proliferate as we approach the day of the Lord. For many of these types, they were exposed to the teaching of the apostles. The fact is seen in verse 19. It isn't that they'd never been exposed to any Christianity. They had. John observes that had they been of us, they would have continued with us. For a time, they remained within a local assembly, maybe even liking the things they were being taught. But eventually, they abandoned sound doctrine and went out from us, quote unquote, proving themselves, in the end, to be not of us. John is telling these believers, don't be intimidated by the fact that some people boiled out of there. Friends, family, whatever. Don't let that bother you. There's other things they want. And it isn't fitting in with what they're hearing and living by in their local churches. A variety of scenarios are in view, from the rejection of biblical teachings to the influencing unstable souls. He is not necessarily passing judgment on their status as believers. As believers can associate themselves with anti-Christian views. We've seen it happen here. Scattered all over the place. They used to rally around the truth, and this was right, and these are fundies, and that's no good. Now they're in it, up to their ears. How'd they get there? What do they think of themselves? All this time, I'm all for this, and now all of a sudden I'm going back to where I was? Their life is inconsistent. Completely inconsistent. But with all that black out of the soul, all that scar tissue and all that, they lose track of all this. And the things you once had, you lose track of them. They all deteriorate in your thinking. When a believer walks away from the truth, they demonstrate to all who are faithful that they are no longer like-minded. Now, this does not mean that some people can stray from the truth and we can help them get back on track. There's always that option out there. But he's just dealing with the fact that they apparently had so many that had left these churches, and it's unsettling to these believers. These people were all once with it, and now they're going all these directions. And he's trying to reassure them, you got the right stuff. You had it from the beginning. Don't throw it aside. All right, we're ending a little early. Because I'm through with this, and I don't want to start up on the next section. So I'll let you go. And remember, prep school is still going on, and these kids need the doctrine, so don't interrupt that. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.